Father God, we praise you and glorify you tonight. Father, you are so good. Father, you are so good. You are so good. Yeah, we praise you. Father God, we praise you. We worship you. Yeah, we just bless you, Father. Just worship him right there where you stand. Glory to God. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you. Yeah, yeah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Yeah, and the Spirit of God would say to us tonight that the burden is lifting and you're coming out of a season of trial. And there are those that are here tonight that you're just about to break through to the other side of that thing that you are facing. That trial of indifference. That trial the trial of disinterest that you've been facing. Yeah, and you seem to have gone low, but tonight you're breaking through that. You're going to the other side of it. Yeah, you stayed faithful. You weathered the storm. It looked like at a time, there was a time where you weren't going to make the right decisions, but you did. But you did. But you did. You resisted those thoughts and those temptations, and now you'll be rewarded. And now you'll be rewarded. Yep. Yep. And you're coming into a season of rejoicing. You're coming into a season of promotion. You're coming into a season of reward because you stayed with it. Yeah, you were persistent and you kept on pushing through. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Yeah, while we were singing that song, it was all of a sudden they're just, you know, I just sense, you know, this lifting of this burden. The Spirit of God, once I got up here, you know, prompted me to speak these things out. I don't think we're done yet. I don't think we're done. Let's just worship him. Let's just worship him. Yeah. Yeah. And I see some of those that are here tonight. I see some of the specific people and the families that are included in that. Not that it can't be for all of us, but I see you. I see you. Yeah, a dark cloud is lifted. There's been a decision. There's been a commitment. You decided to go on with God when there was such an opportunity to quit. Yeah, you didn't take that exit. You didn't take that exit, but you decided to stay on with the plan of God for your life. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Danger has been averted tonight. Calamity has been averted tonight. Things that would have been lost shall be preserved because you made the right decision. You made the right decision. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So you're encouraged tonight to keep the Lord first and don't let those things try to move in and to push out the priority of God in your life, to distract you, to get your interest waning in the things of God. Yeah. You almost succumbed, but you didn't. You made the right decision. And there were many times, there were many nights when you sat there and you thought, this is it. This thing's going to crumble. This thing's going to fail. It just felt like that. It looked like that. But you just kept doing what you knew to do. And now that burden is lifting. That burden is lifting. Glory to God. That burden is lifting. That thing that was trying to sink you is gone. And now you're moving on to breakthrough. Father, we thank you, and we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There will be ones that are in this church that in the previous days, months, and even years, they have been troubled. But now the time has come for them to excel. And there'll be those that people looked at and said, you know, they're just troubled, and they're troubled all the time. There's chaos, there's been crisis, there's been panic, and there has been a lack of diligence, but something has caught fire. Something has taken root. The candle of their spirit has been lit, and the burden will lift, and now they will excel, and now they will become part of the core. Yes. And they'll do great and mighty things for the Lord. So, Father, we just praise you. We thank you. We thank you. We praise you here tonight. Yeah, there will be those that will move from one commitment level to the next. They will go higher in their commitment with God. It will show up in their family. Yeah, they'll reap the reward and the benefit of it. Yep. Those that people would have said, my goodness, I remember them just a year ago. It just seemed like they were troubled all the time. It seemed like they weren't very faithful to God. It didn't seem like they were very interested in the things of God, but something is different with them now. Something has changed with them now. There is a spiritual maturity that has gotten upon them now. Yeah, they're stepping into spiritual adulthood, and it'll be noticed. It'll be noticed. And those that would have never been considered before for leadership will begin to be considered for leadership. People that would have been looked at just a while ago and said, there's just no way. I just don't see it on them. It just doesn't, that purpose doesn't seem to rest upon them, but it will become evident. It'll become abundant on them. And they'll be used in places that no one thought possible. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Yeah. It was fruit that could have been lost, but it shall be preserved. So, Father, we just give you all the praise and glory here tonight. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yep. But it will not be automatic. There will be sacrifice on your part. You will need to continue in good decision making. You will need to submit yourself before the Lord. You'll need to grow in the things of the Word. But the plan is there. The stage is set for you to take your place. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father. Yeah, and I see some, not all, I see some of the faces that are included in that. Yeah, I see some. Some may be here tonight, some may not be. I'm not completely sure, but I see it. Yeah, Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for them. I thank you. So, Father, we just give you praise. Let's just continue to worship him. Let's just continue to worship him. We're not in any kind of scheduled thing here where we got to do one thing or the other. We just want to do what the Spirit of God would have us to do. So, Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we receive it. And Father, we believe it, and thank you for those individuals that it includes. And Father, we know in a measure it includes every one of us. That Father, that we all can just take hold of that and receive it. And so, Father, we just give you the praise and glory here tonight. We just give you the praise and glory here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just wait upon you, Lord. We just want to make sure if there's anything else to say, anything else for us to do right now in this part of service, if we're to, you know, just move forward, teach the word, we can do that. Father, we just submit this service before you. We will do what you want. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. We thank you. Yeah. Yeah, there's a renewed momentum. There's a renewed momentum for those that have been in this church specifically for years. There's a renewed momentum. Yeah. There's a renewed momentum and a renewed love and a desire for your local church. It's just bubbling up. Father, we thank you for a renewed momentum. Father, we just give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Father. Yeah, there's been trouble that's been averted. Things that would have been lost are now preserved. Thank you, Father God. We just give you the praise. Father, we just give you all the glory. Let's just wait on him. Let's just worship him. Father, we just worship you. You're holy. You're the one true living God. There's no God besides you. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you. You are perfect. You are merciful, righteous. You're kind. thank you for your graciousness towards us. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the structure and the stability of the local church, how you've designed it. Thank you, Father. We just love you. We praise you. I just do not have the green light to go ahead yet, so we're just going to keep waiting. Just let's praise him and worship him. Just worship him right there where you stand. Lift your hands, just you and God, all of us together, acting as one. Father, we just bless you tonight. We magnify you tonight. You are so good. Just glorify you. We magnify you, Father. Father, if there's something you'd like me to do, I will do it. Thank you, Father God. Just for whatever reason, we're not to move on yet. So, Father, we just glorify you. Praise the Lord. Bubby, do you have anything? Just checking. Sometimes that could be the reason why it's not time to move forward. So, Father, we glorify you. We bless you, Lord God. We just bless you, Father. We just bless you, Father. God is so good. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, we thank you for being here. Thank you for your strength. We thank you for all that you've done in this service already and what you're going to do. Father, we just give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, before you're seated, why don't you just turn around, just find one person right near you and just, you know, tell them that you're glad to see them here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. I don't know about you, but it's always nice to hear that burdens are lifting, you know? And again, you know, every single one of us in here can just take a hold of that word and say, praise you, Lord, I receive it. You know, that can help you, it can minister to you. You know, of course, the word of God. Can you bring me down just a little bit? I feel like I'm real loud up here. You know, the word of God is always the number one voice of God in our life, you know. But we do know that the word does spell out that the Spirit of God will speak to the church. Amen. And the Bible, of course, you know, talks much about prophecy. You know, sometimes when we hear the word prophecy, we start thinking automatically. Actually, turn with me in your Bibles. Turn with me over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Totally not my subject here. I mean, I sat for hours preparing something that obviously I sent a text message out to many of you, you know, that have signed up to our text communication list telling you what the service would be about. Well, how many of you know that that is always subject to what the Spirit of God would have for us? But when a lot of people, they hear the term prophecy, they start thinking about, you know, future events. You know, they automatically think that prophecy is telling the future. But there is a New Testament manifestation of the Spirit called the gift of prophecy that has nothing to do with future in and of itself, okay? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it gives us this definition. Go down there to verse 3, and it talks about the simple gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14, 3, it says, "But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." All right? Why don't you go up to verse 2, because let's just put it in context so you see what it's talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a teaching here. Paul is telling us the difference between the private use of tongues and the public use of tongues. And he's talking about the difference between, you know, when you are fellowshipping with God privately, you know, with yourself, versus the gathered congregation of the local church. There's a difference. All right, and so in verse 2, he says this. Why don't you just go up to verse 1? if we keep backing up, we might as well just back up all the way here. It says in verse 1, "Follow after charity." I'm reading out of the King James. A more modern translation of the Bible would use the word love. The word charity is the word for love. It says, "Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." This is interesting, okay? And this is something not just being said to ministers. This is something that is being said to every single one of us. All right. It says, you know, follow after love. How many of you know that love is the greatest commandment? Love is the greatest attribute of spirituality. It is the greatest attribute of God's nature. You cannot know God unless you walk in his love and treat people accordingly, okay? So it says, follow after love. Notice it doesn't say follow after spiritual gifts. It says, follow, you know, you can have, and of course in chapter 13, you remember, Paul said this, you can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but if you have not love, it's just like an annoying brass, a tinkling cymbal or something like that. Right? It says, if you can give all your goods to the poor and let your body be burned, but if you have not love, it profits you nothing, right? And so the Bible never tells us to follow after the gifts of the Spirit. It says to desire them. All right, we are to follow love and desire the spiritual gifts, right? Amen. All right, and so love is the priority. Love is the greatest priority of the Christian life. But we should also desire the manifestations of the Spirit. And it tells us what one we should desire. It says, desire that you may prophesy. Yes. Now, before we get going and before anyone jumps up and interrupts our service here tonight, let's talk about what this is, you know, what Paul's speaking of here. Prophecy, we're going to get down to verse 3 here in a second. Again, prophecy that he's talking about is not necessarily someone that's speaking about future events. All right, nor does it mean that you will necessarily prophesy in front of a gathered attendance, okay? Certainly, the Bible does not advocate, you know, some things that, you know, go on in churches today where, you know, the pastor's ministering and he's teaching and then all of a sudden, you know, someone jumps up and they say they have a word and they prophesy over everybody. You don't see that in the Scripture. You don't see that. That's disorderly, you know. You don't do that, and of course, we don't do that here at the church. You know, if someone has something, if the minister who is, you know, running the service, you know, is aware of that, the Spirit makes him aware of that, and then, you know, that'd be different, all right? But we don't jump up, interrupt, and get things out of order like that, all right? But it says that we should desire, that we should prophesy, okay? The word, now let's keep on reading because we'll define it right here in the Scripture. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. How many of you know that that's a good thing? Yes. How many of you know we better look into what it means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues? All right? Because he's not by any means criticizing it. He just the opposite. He's teaching the benefits of it. All right? If you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak not unto men, but unto God. And you got to be careful because a lot of denominations, you know, have accused tongues of being demonic. And obviously it can't be demonic, okay, if when you speak in an unknown tongue, you're speaking to God, all right? And notice they are called unknown tongues, all right? And this is another attribute of speaking in tongues that a lot of, you know, Christian denominations, they get confused about, all right? Christians, they say, well, tongues is just when you speak in a language that you did not naturally know how to do on your own. Meaning, like, if you didn't know how to speak Spanish and all of a sudden you started speaking Spanish, that would be a divine gift of God, and therefore, you know, that's what speaking in tongues is. No, it's not. All right? There is a form of tongues that is a gift for the body of Christ that does do that. However, in your daily devotional life, this is what it's talking about here. This is when you pray and speak to God, when you just pray and have a time with God here. He says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue. See, if it was Spanish, Spanish is not an unknown tongue. All right? Because somebody knows Spanish. Probably somebody in here does. I know un poco, little. I know just a little Espanol, just enough to be dangerous, right? For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. There we go again. See, it can't be a language of man, okay, because it does not speak to men, all right? If I, you know, I don't know how to speak German, I don't know how to speak Swedish, I don't know how to speak Chinese, you know what I mean? All those languages are languages that are made for mankind. Speaking in tongues is a language that communicates with God, not with people. And so a lot of Christians, they misunderstand that. And I'll tell you what, there is a serious benefit to being able to communicate directly to your Heavenly Father. No, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Well, since when was talking to God demonic? Clearly it's not. All right? For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So notice this is, again, no one understands him. All right, so it can't be Spanish because there's somebody out there that understands it, or German or Chinese or any language of man, because tongues is not a language for people. It's a language between you and God. And the Bible says that when you speak in an unknown tongue, in the spirit, you are speaking mysteries. How awesome is that? Now, they're not mysteries to God. They're mysteries to you and me. All right. Can we bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Is it okay? We're just going on. We are totally just going to teach by the Spirit of God here tonight. I invested a lot of time in the sermon that I am not preaching now. This is where the flow is, and I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson before where I just try to preach my thing, and it's like chewing on sawdust. I'm not doing it to you, and especially to me, because then I go home, and I sit there, and God deals with me all night long about how I just, you know, took the service my own direction, and that's not fun for a preacher. All right, look at this in the Amplified. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Not obvious to our understanding, but notice they are hidden from us. And what would be the purpose of God giving this unknown language to us, right? He wants us to reveal those things that are hidden. Amen. I don't know about you. It's not the things that, you know about, you know what I mean? That, you know what I mean? That can you know, hurt you as much as the things that you don't know about. You know, the things that you could have had, but didn't. Things that you could have found, but didn't. Things that you could have walked in, but didn't. Here's the God-given Bible way to discover things that are hidden for you in the plan of God. It's called speaking in other tongues or unknown tongues. And say, oh, but Pastor, my church growing up didn't believe it. I don't care. I didn't believe it either. I grew up in a denomination that said this is of the devil. I grew up in the denomination that, you know, that said, you know, that that's demonic, that is fanaticism, it's just emotionalism. But wait a minute, what does the scripture say? All right, so we can either accept our tradition, our denomination, or we can receive what the Word of God says. So clearly there is a communication between you and God that is not under, it's spoken out of the mouth, but it is not understood by human ears. It's understood only by God. Humans can't understand it, and here's the other good news, the devil can't understand it either. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? And so notice there's this wonderful opportunity. People say, well, I'm just one of those Christians that wasn't chosen to speak in other tongues. That is a lie. That is a lie. No, not every Christian will stand up and deliver a tongue and interpret it in front of the church. But every single believer has been invited into this experience to communicate this way directly with God the Father. What's at stake? Hidden things. Truths that you didn't know. Things that on your own you could not discover. I have said it over and over. I would have never known that I was called to pastor until I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and prayed in other tongues. All right, go down there. We're going to come back to this. You're in 1 Corinthians 14. Go down there to verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Wow. We're just going to go the direction of the Holy Ghost here tonight. This message might be 20 minutes. It might be an hour. I don't know. Some of you just said, probably an hour. At least. But we're teaching here with the Spirit of God. Listen, I shouldn't use the word probably. I would say more like definitely this message is being connected to what was spoken at the beginning of the service. Talking about burdens lifting, people being promoted, people being used in leadership, people moving into greater and higher things, right? Well, here's the assignment that goes along with it. Here's the assignment that goes into it. Paul the Apostle said this. How many believe Paul the Apostle knew a little something about God's Word? Knew a little something about God, didn't he? He wrote 14 out of 27 New Testament books. I have become aware to trust what he says. Amen. He says this. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue. So now he's talking about praying in tongues. No, this is not speaking in tongues to your neighbor to show how spiritual you are. This is not giving a tongue in front of a church and interpreting it. This is when you are praying to God. How many of us are called to pray to God? Every single one of us. And so when Christians say, but the Bible says that not everyone will speak in tongues, read that verse in context. It says not everyone will give a tongue and interpret it in front of the church. But every believer has in their prayer life this opportunity to speak in an unknown tongue to God. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, look what he says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Notice that when you pray in an unknown tongue, the Bible says that it is a prayer out of the Holy Spirit from your spirit. All right? What does that mean? It comes out of your spirit, it goes out of your mouth, it never even makes it up to the brain. I'll tell you what, isn't that what we need? Listen, we need to circumvent the brain because that's where all the trouble is. God was smart. He's like, let's just bypass that mind of theirs and get them praying directly out of their spirit by the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then can you real quickly, can we bring up Jude verse 20 just to show you what happens when you're praying in another tongue? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Rising higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 14:2? He that prays in an unknown tongue, right? Whoever speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, right? Howbeit the, I'm just running so fast here, right? No man can, I'm quoting Amplified and King James. Go back there to verse 2, make sure we get it right here. He says, no one understands or catches his meaning because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Notice it says in unknown tongues is called in the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us how you pray in the Holy Spirit is praying in unknown tongues. Now, can you bring up Jude verse 20 in the King James? I like how it is stated there. I'm telling you, if you're sitting here saying, oh, you know, I came to hear that message that pastor sent the text message about. Well, I'll tell you what, this will bless your life. It says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you know why it's your most holy faith? Because your mind doesn't have to get involved. Because you don't have to ask your thought life permission. He says, you will pray by the Spirit and your mind will be unproductive. It will help nobody. Have you ever felt that way when you're praying in an unknown tongue? You know, your mind starts going a whole bunch of different places. All right, because your mind becomes unproductive when that happens. Now go back there to 1 Corinthians 14:14. King James Amplified is fine, either one. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Verse 15. Go to the next verse. We'll go to verse 15. Praise the Lord. Then what am I to do? Isn't this a question that a lot of Christians have? Okay, so there's this praying in tongues business, but what about praying in my natural language? You know, what about that? He says, what am I to do then? He said, I will pray with my spirit, meaning praying in tongues, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. So notice, you can pray in tongues and pray in the Spirit, and you can also pray in your known intelligent language. How many of you have prayed in English lately? All right, if you've prayed in English lately, then you've prayed intelligently. All right, meaning with your own intelligence and your own understanding. But how many of you know that there's a prayer in the Holy Ghost, right, that is not just out of your own intelligence, but it's by the help of the Spirit of God? Don't you think that that would be a great benefit and a help for you and for me? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, and so if you've ever wondered that, well, Paul says, what am I to do then? You know, should I just have one and abandon the other? He says, no, you should practice doing both. That's right. Pray with your intelligent language, but also don't forfeit praying in other tongues. Amen. And vice versa. Don't just pray in other tongues, but you're going to also, you pray intelligently the best you know how. But is there a lot of things that you and I don't know? Have you ever realized that you don't know how to pray for everything that needs to be prayed for? That's why we have the help of the Spirit. That's why we have the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that was kind of a little side journey. Go back there to 1 Corinthians 14:2. And he's talking about the difference of the public prophecy versus speaking in tongues. Notice in verse 1, it told us, desire that you would prophesy. All right, we're going to get back to that. Because you might be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. Okay, we're all invited to speak in other tongues. But the Bible says, desire that you prophesy. All right, and I think this is part of the prayer life that a lot of full gospel, charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call them, Christians have started to abandon. You know, they've abandoned prophecy in prayer. You say, what are you talking about? That's what the Lord would have us to teach here tonight, apparently. All right, so verse 2, we talked about speaking in tongues, but look at verse 3. He says, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. All right? Notice this is the New Testament definition of prophecy. Notice what it will do. It will edify, it will exhort, and it will comfort. Notice that within prophecy itself does not tell the future in any form. All right? Now, why am I sharing this? All right, when we started service here tonight and, we had the music and I shared what the Spirit of God would have me to share and that word that was coming forth. Of course, my mind can't even remember it verbatim. You know, that happens a lot when you're ministering those kinds of things. You know, you have to rely on others to take notes and remind you what was said because you're just, you know, trying to listen to the Spirit of God and to speak it accurately. But what was being said there, what was it for? It was to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. That was not something that Pastor Tim just decided to stand up and it would really just, you know, try to, you know, we'll try to whip everybody up and just get them all excited about service. No, the Spirit of God, that was a manifestation of the Spirit of God in the simple gift of prophecy to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. All right? Of course, edify means to build somebody up, to strengthen them, to help them. To exhort them means to encourage. To encourage them to faithfulness. All right? And comfort, I think, is pretty self-explanatory. You know, God, aren't you glad he's the God of comfort? I'll tell you what, if you're sitting here, and no doubt there's people, and probably more than one, that were sitting here, you heard that, and that started to speak specifically to your situation. And, you know, when you hear prophecy like that, it starts to encourage. It's like a breath of fresh air. It's like water to a dry land. You know what I mean? Praise God for it. Hallelujah. It's good of God to let us know, hey, you're just about to the end of that thing. You're coming out of that thing. You know what I mean? What is that? Why? Because it just keeps you running because you're almost there. You're almost there. Isn't that good of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, let's talk about prophecy that comes, in your life. Okay? Now, as we were praying and waiting on God, that came to me. Of course, I knew I was to minister it. But please know this, that is not only for a pulpit ministry. This is an element of prayer. This is an element of fellowship with God that can and will and should be part of the relationship that you have with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Where we spend time with God and all of a sudden, you know, something starts welling up in you, all right, and you start speaking out. Now, you're not speaking it in tongues. Notice, I did not speak out in tongues. Right. There was a moment there where there was something else that was being said and my mind, you know, wasn't registering it. And so I gave out a quick tongue and it reset it and we kept on going. You know, that happens quite a bit. But it wasn't, you know, me speaking to you in tongues. That would do no good. It was given in, prophecy is spoken in a known language. All right? Tongues is a language to God that you speak to him. Prophecy is your own intelligent language, but it's still inspired of the Spirit of God. There's going to be times in prayer and fellowship with God, all of a sudden you'll start to sense in your spirit, there's like a word that'll be given to you, all right? And it won't be, you know, like it might be a phrase, but it won't be the whole thing. You'll just start to get, as you pray in fellowship with God, He will give you a word. And all I had when I was standing there is the Spirit of God told me that the burden is lifting. That's all, that's the fragment of it that I had. And so I stood up and I gave that out. And as I gave that out, the Spirit of God had me say more and more and more. The same thing can and will and should be happening in your own prayer life. There are things that the Spirit of God is wanting to say to you through your own voice, in your own mouth, in prayer. Oh my goodness. I could tell you so many times of things that the Spirit of God had me prophesy about, and I was the only one in the room. I was the only one in the room. There was times when people right here in this church were going through a trial in their life, and I'd be praying about that individual, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God, I'd start prophesying about what was going to happen next. You know, and that had a touch of a word of wisdom. It might have some future telling elements to it. But it was an encouragement. It was a word pertaining to their situation. Glory to God. And I watched as, that situation was resolved exactly how it was prophesied just right there in my prayer time. I mean, I'll tell you what. Men and women, you know, you should be, as you fellowship with God, there should be prophecy coming out your mouth regarding your marriage, regarding your job, your business, your church, your pastor. I mean, no, you may not be invited up front and handed a microphone, but I tell you what, God wants you to speak forth some things. It needs to be said. Because how many of you know words need to enter the earth? Words aren't only for ears. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Words aren't only meant for ears. Words create things. Words move things in this earth, and God needs certain words spoken in the earth. Glory to God. But they can be inspired through you. It's not just your pastor. It's not just the minister. No, don't jump up and interrupt the service. But I tell you what, in your fellowship time with God, there should be inspired utterance that comes out, not just in tongues, but that we are to desire to prophesy. Watch this. All right, you say, well, Pastor, how can we do that? Let's keep on going here because the Bible starts teaching us how to do it. If you really want to start moving into the deeper things of God, if you really love Bible doctrine, you're going to love what the Spirit of God is teaching us here tonight. But if you just wanted some kind of hot rod sermon, well, I don't know if you ever get any of those around here. But you know what I mean? If you just wanted some motivational speech, well, then you're not going to like this. But if you want to really learn how to walk in fellowship with God, this will help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Look at verse 3. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Even if the person that he's talking about there is you yourself. Even if it's you yourself. Even if it's the words coming out of your mouth for you. Watch this, though. In verse 4, it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I like that. Now, of course, the gift of prophecy that was in operation here just a few moments ago, what was it doing? It was edifying the church. It edifies everybody. But if I stood up here and if I just spoke in other tongues, it would only benefit me. All right? And so, you know, in the personal prayer life, you know, you can edify and charge up yourself by praying in other tongues. And then there's times the Spirit of God is going to give you things to say. Listen, it might not be in front of the gathered church, but it will still benefit the church. It could be for a brother. It could be for a sister. It could be for somebody. Praise the Lord. It could be for your own marriage. That still is the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. That still qualifies. All right. Now look at in verse 5. Look what he says. He says, I would, or that word would means I prefer or I desire. I would prefer or desire that you all spoke with tongues. So obviously God's not against tongues. He says, I desire that all of you would get it. He's like, I want you all. Why would he desire that all would have it if all couldn't have it? People say, well, not everyone can. If that was true, Paul would never talk that way. He would never talk that way. Can you bring up chapter 14 and verse 23? I'll show you again where he uses that word all. He wouldn't say all if all couldn't. Paul says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad or crazy? Yeah. All right, if people were visiting our church on Sunday morning, and I just said, okay, church, everyone just speak in tongues. That's all we're going to do for the service. Wouldn't you think those visitors would probably think you're crazy? Sure. Yeah, and that's what he's saying here. He said, when the church is gathered together, don't just command everybody to speak in tongues, because that's not going to help the people that need to learn. But notice he says, if the whole church come together and all speak with tongues, so it must be possible for all to speak in tongues, or else he would have never used that kind of language. All right? Because you don't tell people not to do something that's impossible. You see what I'm saying? I will never come up and tell you, don't fly to the moon. Meaning on your own, you could actually, technically that is possible. We've done that with, I'm talking in your own body. Don't flap your wings and fly to the moon. I would never tell you not to do that, because I don't instruct you in impossibilities. Paul would not instruct on something if it were impossible. Okay? So now go back to verse 5. All right? He said, I desire that you all speak with tongues. He said, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Okay? Now he is talking more about the gathered church. If I give out a tongue right now, the Bible says that I should interpret it so that you all would be edified. But notice that tongues with interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. Okay? Two ways to increase your understanding and fellowship with God in prayer. Are you ready? Prophesy, number one. Number two, speak with tongues and interpret. Speak with tongues and interpret. He says, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Look at verse 6. Well, let's see here. I want to bring you down here. Oh, praise the Lord. He tells us, go down to verse 13. Says in verse 13, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. That is not just for the gathered church. That's also for your prayer life. When you pray and spend time with God, ask him that you may interpret your tongue, because it's equal to prophecy. Notice that God always wants to bring the unknown into the known. Even unknown tongues, he wants it to eventually to be interpreted. He would like you to hear its meaning, because it will bless you. It will bless others. Amen. Here's two things that you can greatly increase your fellowship, and something you can seek God if you want to walk with him in a deeper measure. Number one, that you prophesy, all right, and that you interpret your unknown tongues. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on now. We need to get a hold of that, because these are things that go untaught in the Christian church. I was raised and I was told that prophesying is just preaching. I was told that. I was told that if, what prophecy is just when you preach a message. Well, there can be some prophecy in the preaching, okay, but not all preaching is prophesying. All right, because the same church that told me that preaching was prophesying is the same church that told me that women can't preach. But then I read over there in Acts chapter 2 where it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Right? And so, there was all these contradictions. But I'll tell you what, God has made an opportunity for every single one of us to prophesy, to desire as we pray, to listen in our spirit for those that word or that phrase, and you start to give that out, and all of a sudden that message will begin to flow. Amen. And yes, you will need to grow proficient in it. It isn't something that's just going to happen instantly. It will take, I guess for lack of a better term, practice. It will take experience. Amen. But notice the Bible says you have to desire it. Prophecy is something that you have to desire. And interpreting your tongue in prayer is something you need to ask for. You need to ask for it. See, even though, you know, tongues is such a benefit, but notice even God, he says, I still want, you know, a good part of it to become known. I want it to be revealed and interpreted. I don't want it to just stay unknown. I want to bring the unknown into the known. I want to bring the mysteries into revelation. Glory to God. But we're never going to do that if we don't learn to prophesy and to interpret our own tongue in prayer. All right? I'm just delivering the message that I'm supposed to. You know, and I notice how the Spirit of God tonight, he's using the teacher in me. I can tell when the teacher's office clicks on versus the pastoral office. I had planned to preach as a pastor tonight. And the Spirit of God said, you know, obviously changed it and led us in a way that the teacher was going to teach by the, you know, the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting any help out of this? Yeah. Okay. So again, how do you move in this direction? Let me take you over to Ephesians chapter 5 and start sharing some things that can help you move in that direction. Because a lot of Christians will say, Pastor, I tried that and, you know, nothing's happening. And when I pray, I just feel like a spiritual log. I feel so unspiritual. It feels like I'm chewing on sawdust or something like that. Well, listen, I can help you get over that because everyone goes through that. Everyone goes through seasons like that. You know, if you say that you've, you know, every time you've prayed, you've had, you know, some big fireworks in prayer, I'll tell you what, you're lying. If you think that every time you're going to pray, there's going to be some, you know, the heavens are going to open and you're going to see into heaven and all that, well, no, that's not realistic, you know. But you do keep, you know, you stay faithful to it because you will have gushers. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by a gusher? You know, you've seen those old cartoons or those pictures of the oil derricks, you know what I mean? And they're drilling and they're drilling and they're drilling and they hit the gusher. You know what I mean? In prayer, there's a lot of drilling. You know what I mean? And a lot of times people don't get too excited about the drilling part of it. But when they hit the gusher, that's what they're looking for. All right? And those gushers are just times when, you know, you have an experience with God. Something was unearthed. Something was revealed. You know, you prophesied. You interpreted your tongue. Praise the Lord. Or whatever's taken place there. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse 18. Here's, you know, something to look for. Number one, like I said, you know, when you're praying, first of all, you got to desire prophecy. You have to desire it. You have to desire it. However, you got to communicate to God that you desire for that to happen, you better do it. Okay, you have to desire prophecy. Two, you have to ask that you pray and ask that you will interpret your tongue. Okay, here's a third thing you do. Like I've said, I'm just going to keep repeating myself because the Spirit of God is trying to get this over to us tonight. Third, look for a phrase or a word in your heart. The way I would describe it, it's, you know, not trying to turn it into a natural thing, but it's like when the Spirit of God comes on you, it's almost like getting nervous about something. Like, it's a bad way to describe it. You just start to sense it in your spirit. Just something starts to bubble up and you just have to, you know, speak it out. And God's only going to give you like a word or a phrase. And you'll hear that on the inside. You know what I mean? But what is that? That is your opportunity to step out in faith and give that word. Yes. All prophecy is going to, you know, we know over there in Romans chapter 12, it says if a man's motivational gift is to prophesy, let him do so according to the measure of faith. It's going to, there's going to be faith involved with prophecy. There's always faith involved in prophecy and interpreting your tongue. The reason why God doesn't just give you the whole sentence or the whole message all at once, because it would take no faith to step out on it. You will get that word or that phrase, all right? Tonight, for me, that came to me was the burden is lifting. That's all I had. And I'm sitting up here just waiting to give that out. And when it was time, I said that. And when I did, I stepped out in faith, and the Spirit of God had me to minister more things with it. Amen. You know, the way I would describe it is, you ever seen those clowns that have the handkerchief up their sleeve? Yeah. You know what I mean? They have a handkerchief, you know, hanging out of their sleeve, and you pull it, and it just keeps coming in. You know, there's like a 50-foot long string of handkerchiefs that is up his sleeve. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that with the Holy Ghost. You step out. You know, you say the first word or phrase, and he's going to give you the rest. All right? He's going to give you the rest. All right? So those are the first three things that, you know, you look for when stepping out in this. All right? Desire prophecy, ask that you will interpret your tongue, and then listen on the inside for that word or that phrase and give it out. Okay? Step out in faith is step three. You're going to have to step out. Listen. When I was just getting started in ministry, those things would happen, and the analytical teacher in me wanted to know all the message before I would dare say anything, you know, but God doesn't work that way. And I was wondering, like, oh, I had this. I knew I was to say this, but that's all I had. And I struggled with that, wondering why didn't it happen? Because I didn't step out. I required the whole thing before I would say anything. God doesn't work that way. You're going to have to step out in faith. Praise the Lord. All right, here's something else that can help you. Ephesians 5:18. It says, be not drunk with wine. My goodness. Christians could get a hold of that. Be not drunk. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell Christians that, but even Paul had to tell Christians back then and today, don't get drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. I like that. Amen. And it tells us in verse 19 how to be filled with the Spirit. And of course, you've probably heard this taught before. If not, let me, you know, camp out on verse 18 for a second. It says, but be filled. In the Greek, it literally says this, but be being filled, meaning a constant, continuing filling. All right? Have you seen that in the book of Acts? Have you seen the continuing filling of the Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were filled with the Spirit. All right. Acts 4, 29 and 30, they were all filled with the Spirit. Right. You know what I mean? There was one initial filling, but there were many refillings of the Spirit of God. All right. And the scripture says, don't get drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, or continuously fill yourself on the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, how do you tell when somebody's drunk with wine? There's outward expressions of someone who's drunk. You know, unfortunately, you know, some of us are aware of those days, what that was like. But you know, maybe you've seen somebody who's been filled with wine. What happens is, you know, there's outward expressions, right? Their speech is slurred. They can't walk straight. They certainly should not drive a car. They might be more friendly than they usually would be, or whatever it is. They might be more violent than they normally would be. Sometimes it goes either way. All right, but there's outward expressions. In the same way, when someone's filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to be noticeable. All right? How do you fill yourself with the Spirit? Well, we already talked about one way, right? Praying in other tongues is one way. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, right? But verse 19 tells us how to do this. It says, speaking to yourselves. I never knew that the Bible told me to talk to myself. Yes, the Bible tells us to talk to ourselves all the time. This is how you are going to be being filled, continuously filled with the Spirit, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Okay. You know, here's the danger with wrong music. All right, because wrong music is going to get you singing the wrong thing. Going to get you talking about wrong things, all right? But notice, when it says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, let me say this. They could be songs you know, a spiritual song. You know, it could be, you know, a song that you heard in church that we praise and worship to, and the Spirit of God can inspire that song to you just to sing it. That happens to me plenty of times. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll come out of a service and Reverend Tony and the worship team just, you know, hit a grand slam and the Spirit of God fell and, you know, they're singing the name of Jesus, and I'll walk out and that'll just stay with me for a few days. You know, and I'll speak that to myself. You know, that one song is just my favorite, that Jesus, 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 something happens. You know, that song, man, when I hear that, it just sticks. It literally sticks to me. Praise God. You know, and we sing that, and we can sing that to ourselves if the Spirit of God inspired it. All right? However, you could get on Christian radio and just hear some catchy, you know, Christian teeny bop music. You know, and it could be singing a whole bunch of doubt and unbelief. And just because because it was catchy and you just sang it, you know, that's not a spiritual song. What makes a spiritual song is that it is inspired in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It can be a known song, or it could just be something that you are singing to the Lord. You do not have to be a good singer to do this. All right? It certainly would help. It'd help all of us. Just in case we catch you doing it. No, I'm kidding. But I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to be a musical person, you know, to sing in your heart to the Lord. But a spiritual song, it could be a song that you know, but it also could just be a song, maybe a phrase that you're just singing to the Lord. It also could be what we saw over there in 1 Corinthians 14:15. It also could be prayer in the Spirit. He said, what shall I do? He said, I will pray in unknown tongues. I will pray in my intelligent language. I will sing in unknown tongues and sing in my known language. In church, we typically sing with our known language. Reverend Tony and the worship team tonight, what did they do? They led us in worship with songs in our known language. Praise the Lord. But know this, you can also sing in other tongues. You can sing in other tongues. Say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? Well, you sing along, you know, to songs all the time. You know, singing isn't anything new to any of us. You know, it's like praying in tongues, except you put a melody to it. Sing in other tongues. Praise the Lord. All right? It could just be a word or a phrase. Maybe it's the name of the Lord. You just sing his own name back to him and just speak to yourselves. And what you're doing is you're just being filled with the Spirit as you go through your day. People that will practice this kind of thing will have more gushers when they pray. People that will sing and make melody in their heart to the Lord. Listen, you could be in your car. You could be at your desk at your job. You could be just singing, you know, you could just almost be humming it under your breath. You're not trying to impress people with your pipes. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm going to show off my vocals. I'm going to sing a spiritual. No. Then you've missed it. Because then you're doing that for you. You're not doing that for God. You know what I mean? You know, you could just sing a spiritual song. The Spirit of God could inspire a whole song. You know, we have a lot of such examples of this in the Bible. It's called the Book of Psalms. Do you know when David, you know, when he wrote those, the Book of Psalms, there are 150 of them. They were songs that were inspired of the Holy Ghost that came primarily, mostly, most of them, through David as he was out there in the pasture as a shepherd boy. You know, or when he was going through trials in his life. If you read, especially early on in the Book of Psalms, they'll say a Psalm of David when he was hiding in the caves of En-Gedi. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was that? He was singing psalms to God when he was going through the roughest trial in his life. He just stayed filled with God's Spirit. Amen. In the toughest time of his life. And God so loved those psalms that he had him write them down. And they became literally the songbook for all of Israel, and now has become the largest book in the book of the Bible. Think about that. You know, those psalms, they weren't just, David wasn't sitting there, you know, like, okay, I'm going to try to be creative. Okay, that would sound good. Okay, that would sound good. No, he was giving that out by the Spirit of God. And he wrote those things down, and they were entered into God's eternal word, all right? Where did it all come from? It came from a spirit-filled man speaking to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all right? People that will do this kind of stuff, this is something that will help prime the pump, so to speak. It'll prime the pump. You know what I mean by that? You know, you're singing the name of Jesus in your heart all day long, and you go to pray, it's going to take a lot less time to get into the Spirit. If there is prophecy or something to be interpreted in prayer, it sure is going to come a lot faster if the pump is primed, so to speak. Do you know what I mean by priming the pump? You know, you have your little lawnmower, your push lawnmower, and you got that little red button on the side, and it's the prime button. You got to go, you got to give that thing a little push. That, what's that doing? It's putting some gas in the carburetor, you know, so you're not sitting there pulling, you know, 1,000 times to get it started. It's already ready to go. In the same way, you can be ready to go when it's time to pray, praise the Lord, and then you could interpret your tongues, you can prophesy, glory to God, right there in your own prayer life, in your car, in your home. I'll tell you what, this is something that has become almost lost in the church. Almost lost. And what I mean by the church, I mean the body of Christ in general. Christians, you know, we're on our eye devices all day long. We have the news rolling all day long. We got our phones going all day long. We have Netflix going all day long. We have all this other stuff bombarding us, and that's what we're singing. That's what we're remembering. That's what we're getting filled with. But we should stop and make melody in our heart to God. Praise the Lord, so we could be a little bit more effective, way more spiritual in prayer. Believe me, folks, I'm not just preaching this to you, I'm preaching it to me. You know, and you know I say that about every sermon. Well, this wasn't my idea to preach here tonight, to be honest with you. This was, obviously, here's the message that I was originally going to speak, and there is a lot of notes here. Well, if the Lord wills, I'll just put that one in the hopper. Maybe it's next Wednesday, maybe it's this Sunday. We'll see. Praise the Lord. But you get something out of this here tonight? Well, obviously, this is what the Spirit of God would have us to emphasize. You know, and no doubt connected to the word that was given about burdens lifting, about future assignments, about people that were not considered for leadership before are going to be considered for leadership. I remember that part of it, and I'll tell you what, that sounds good. That sounds really good. That's exciting to me to hear as a pastor. That's really exciting to hear as a pastor. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Just kind of, you know, I don't have my notes here, but just kind of reviewing our four steps here. Okay. Desire prophecy when you pray, as you pray. 2, pray and ask that you would interpret your tongues. Okay. 3, what was the third one that I had? Yeah, look for a phrase or a word or a sentence or something in your heart to give that out. It's going to be a word or maybe a few short words, a phrase. Give that out. And the point I'm making there is that you got to step out in faith. Step out in faith, okay? 4, here we go. Be being filled, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This will greatly aid and assist in prophesying in prayer and interpreting your tongues in prayer. I could just go through, you know, testimonies. I'm not in any rush to get anywhere, go anywhere, anything. I can just tell by the Spirit of God my message is done here. But I could just go through several testimonies of times when the Spirit of God came on me in prayer and I either prophesied or interpreted a tongue. And I'll notice this. This is just my observation. I'm not putting God's stamp on this. I notice this, that when I interpret tongues or I prophesy, it tends to be about somebody else. Just what I've noticed. You know, maybe my wife would agree with that. Maybe, you know, God uses her. Maybe he uses you different. But I've just noticed this. When God uses me in that way, it's typically about somebody else to help them, to assist them. Praise the Lord. It seems when I just, you know, when as I... spend time praying in tongues and things like that, I mean, that edifies me, that builds me, but it seems like when I start interpreting, you know, when I come before God, if there's an issue for the church or my life or my family, it just seems like I don't prophesy as much or interpret tongues as much in prayer as I do when I'm speaking about somebody else. Just something that I've noticed. But I'll tell you what the key is, and that's stepping out on that word. Stepping out on that phrase. You know, stepping out there in faith and giving that out. Well, praise the Lord. Well, did you get taught something here tonight? Now, if the Lord's willing, perhaps Sunday, maybe a Wednesday night coming up or something, 5 keys to being used by God. I was so excited just writing this message. I have things I'm just so fired up to teach and to preach. But I'll tell you what, we want what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's go ahead and let's pray.